Now, the text of Scripture that I want us to look at this evening is the verse number 9 of Revelation chapter 19. As we mentioned this morning, I want to speak tonight on the subject of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in dealing with that vital subject, I want to look just at these words of verse 9 of Revelation chapter 19. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now, Revelation chapter 19 is a chapter that really relates to end time events. Whenever our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, returns in power and in great glory. Verses 1 to 6 here of the chapter really tell us of those in heaven who praise God for judging the system of Antichrist on earth. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. There it says, "For true and righteous are His judgments. For He have judged the great whore." And the great whore there refers to the end time system of Antichrist. It says, "He have judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and have avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." Now, this system of Antichrist is a system, yes, it will have a figurehead, but by and large it is a system that is opposed to the gospel, opposed to all that is of God and all that is of Christ. The Bible would show us it would have a degree of religious power, political power, monetary power. But when Christ comes, this system will be overthrown and judged and destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And there's praise in heaven at this very event taking place. There we see that from verse 2 of the chapter. And by the greatness of heaven's praise here regarding this event is highlighted by the use of the word hallelujah in four separate occasions here at the beginning of this chapter. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. Notice what it says. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Go on down to verse 3. You have the word Alleluia again. It says, "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke," that's the smoke of the end time system of Antichrist, "rose up," it says, "for ever and ever." And they're praising God in heaven for this. Again, look at the word Alleluia that is mentioned in the verse 4 of the chapter. It says, "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia." And then again, you have the fourth mention of the word Alleluia. In the verse number 6 of the chapter, John says, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." That, no doubt, is that great multitude in heaven which no man can number. He says, "I heard in the voice of a great multitude as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." This is something that will cause all heaven to rejoice and to praise God for whenever it takes place. And the Antichrist and that whole end time system of Antichrist is overthrown by Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who returns in power and in great glory. It is very interesting to note that that great choral piece of Handel's Messiah is a piece that is based upon this very portion of Scripture here in Revelation chapter number 19. Then following on from this, we read about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you read of that in verse 9 of the chapter. It says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And the marriage supper here refers to the gathering together of all God's people with Christ in heaven when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Those living will be gathered up to be with the Lord in heaven, the living saints of God. And those who have died in Christ will be raised unto eternal life, and they will gather together with Christ in heaven. Turn with me in your Bible back to 1 Thessalonians and to the chapter number 4. And you'll read about this very event taking place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse number 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What an event that will be when all the saints of God throughout all the ages of time gather together with Christ in heaven and glory at the marriage supper of the Lamb. In this marriage supper here, yes, a picture of a wedding feast is used. Why? Well, because on earth all God's people are described and they are depicted as the very bride of Christ. And in heaven they are united with Christ forever, who is their heavenly bridegroom. And this marriage supper we see here from Revelation 19 verse 9 is so important. The John here is commanded by God's angel to write about this very fact. Look at how verse 9 of the chapter begins. He speaks of the Lord's angel speaking to him, and he says, "He saith unto me, write." This was something that John was commanded by God to write about and to write it down. He says, "Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." This was something that John was not to forget about. It was an event that he was to record. It was an event written down in Scripture for us all to consider, for us all to think about. Then we see there at the end of verse number 9, it says, "These are the true sayings of God." And that there shows you and I that the marriage supper of the Lamb is true. It's certain. It's sure. It is an event in the calendar of God that will most certainly and most definitely come to pass. And people, in light of the certainty of the marriage supper of the Lamb, in light of its importance, as the very fact that it is recorded here for us in the Scriptures, then I believe it's important that we look at what we're told here tonight about it in our text here before us. There's three things I want just to set before you simply and briefly tonight. Notice first of all here with me the description of Christ at this marriage supper. It says there, "And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Notice that little phrase there, "the Lamb." And in this verse you see here that Christ is called the Lamb. And here we see how in heaven amongst the people of God, Christ is known and described and referred to as the Lamb of God. And being called the Lamb, we can say tonight, yes, Christ is God's appointed Lamb, God's appointed sacrifice for sin. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Christ in his day and saw him coming toward him. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." In other words, Christ came to be an appointed sacrifice for sin, an appointed Savior from sin itself. How did he fulfill that great mission? Well, on the cross of Calvary. Christ went willingly to that cross. There he shed his blood. His crimson blood, his precious blood, his sinless blood. He died as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of all of his people. And by that sacrifice, he made a way for all our sins to be forgiven and put away before Almighty God. Speaking of that very same sacrifice, the book of Hebrews says, "But now once in the end of the world, if he appeared to put away sin, by the sacrifice of himself." One of a bygone day has said, and rightly said, that the cross is the cost of my forgiveness. In other words, through the cross work of Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, their sins were forgiven, pardoned, blotted out by Almighty God. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this: to have all your sins pardoned by God, indeed, to be at the marriage supper in heaven, you must trust in Christ, the Lamb of God, for salvation. You must trust in him and in his sacrifice alone
for the blotting out of your sins before God. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, as you view Christ here as the Lamb at the marriage supper, see him tonight as the appointed sacrifice for sinners, the one and only one who can save us from our sins. Also, this title here of the Lamb, it reminds us that Christ is indeed an eternal sacrifice for sin. For in Revelation 13, verse 8, we read of Christ there, and this is what it says. He is the Lamb, it says, slain from the foundation of the world. Before this world was made and come into existence, Christ was appointed by God to be the Savior from sin. In the Old Testament time, the saints of the Old Testament, they look forward in faith to Christ coming and to his death upon the cross. Speaking of Abraham, Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham looked forward in faith to Christ the Messiah, the appointed Savior of sinners, coming and dying for him upon the cross. And tonight we look back in faith to that very same sacrifice for sin upon the cross. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And friend, this means that Christ's sacrifice, yes, is the only sacrifice that can save you from your sins. No other sacrifice can save. No other sacrifice can atone for your sin apart from the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The hymn writer knew that only the blood of Christ could deal with a sin. Friend, only the blood of Christ can deal with your sin. There's no other sacrifice, no other Savior apart from Christ. Apart from his sacrifice, apart from his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Apart from the shed blood of Christ, you can never know the remission, the forgiveness of your sins before God. Also, we can say this title here, the Lamb of God, it reminds us that in love, Christ died for those who were sinners, guilty sinners by nature and by practice before God. Turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter number 3, to the third chapter of the book of Romans. And just look at what Paul says here in verses 10 right through to the verse number 18 of the chapter. He gives a description of man by nature and practice as a sinner before God, and it's not a good picture. It is really something that applies to us all mankind, whether we're black or white, Protestant, Catholic, Jew, Gentile, whatever. Look at what he says about the state of all mankind, man's natural state as a sinner before God. Romans 3, verse 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And people, that is really the condition of us all by nature before God. That is man's natural condition as a sinner before Almighty God, a condition that is deeply grieving and offensive to Almighty God, for God is holy. God is one who will not allow sin into his presence. The Bible tells us that. And God, as holy, is one who will always judge sin and punish sin. Yet what do we read over in Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 8 about the same sinful man and sinful state of mankind? It says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while, notice it, we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There we see the love of God towards sinners like you and I, who have rebelled against God, who have shaken our very fist in the face of God. Yet the Bible says God is love. What a statement that is about God. He's holy. He judges sin. He will not tolerate sin in his presence, yet he is a God of love. And the greatest demonstration of this love is that God sent his Son, his only Son, his sinless Son. He sent him to bleed and to die upon the cross and a cursed death. He became a curse for us. Why? To provide a way for you and I to be saved from our sins and reconciled with God and right with God. Oh, friend, tonight see God's love toward you in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. As you think tonight of Christ as the Lamb, the marriage supper, the one who has been appointed to save us from our sins, the only one who can save us from our sins, see him also tonight as the proof, the evidence, the token of God's love for a world of sinners like you and I. Oh, the old hymn writer was right whenever he said, God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Oh, do you see Christ tonight as your Lamb? As the only Lamb who can save you from your sins? Do you see Christ dying in love for your soul tonight upon the cross? Paul the Apostle said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Paul never lost sight of this fact, the love of God toward him in Christ. What a vision he had of Christ. He saw him dying for him upon the cross. He could say, the Son of God who loved me, the chief of sinners, and gave himself for me. Oh, see Christ tonight here as the Lamb. This is how Christ will be in heaven. He will be there as the Lamb of God. But not only do we see here the description of Christ at the marriage supper, notice the people who are at the marriage supper. Look again at verse number 9 of Revelation chapter number 19. Look at what it says. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Notice that word called. Mark it in your Bible. It tells us that all who are at the marriage supper of the Lamb are those who have been called. Called by God's grace through the glorious message of the gospel. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ saves from sin. And it is a message for all mankind, whoever he is, whoever she is. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples before he was taken up unto heaven. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in this message, God calls all mankind to repent of his sin and to trust in Christ as Savior, to trust in Christ for salvation. You remember what Paul said as he preached in Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 to the people of Athens. He says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's a call that applies to every one of us in this gathering. Applies to all who are listening in online to this message. Again, in the end of Revelation chapter 22, it says there, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And the word there, whosoever, it takes in all who will take of the water of God's salvation, the water of eternal life freely through Christ. Dear friend, tonight let me say this, through this very same gospel, the everlasting gospel, the gospel that was preached at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, the gospel that is to be preached right to the very end of time when Christ comes back again, through this very same gospel, God is calling you in this meeting tonight, friend. He's calling you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The hymn writer said, God is calling now for thee. My, what a call that is. And friend, to be at this marriage supper, then you must heed this call. There are many calls, I'm sure, you've received in life about certain things. Maybe you've turned your deaf ear to those calls, but this is a call not to turn away from. This is a call to listen to. This is a call that you must heed. My, you must heed this call by repenting of your sin before God and putting your trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Why do you say, what are you going to do with this call tonight in the gospel? To come to Christ to repent of your sin and to trust Christ as Savior so that you can be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, whenever Abraham's servant was looking for a bride for Isaac, he spoke to Rebekah and he put that question to Rebekah. He said, Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? And she replied, I will go. She yielded to that call to unite with Isaac. And likewise, friend, to go to the marriage supper, you must be willing to unite with Christ. You must be willing to put your trust in Christ. You must put your faith, your trust in Christ as Savior. Yes, you must say in your heart, I will go with Christ. I will trust Christ. Christ shall be my Savior. He'll be my Lord and my Redeemer. Oh, friend, are you willing tonight to heed this call? If you look there at Revelation chapter 19 and the verse number 7, here we read of the bride making herself ready for the marriage supper. It says in verse number 7 there of the chapter, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife have made herself ready. Notice those words, have made herself ready. And that speaks of the repentant sinner trusting Christ as Savior, having their sins forgiven by the blood of Christ and being arrayed in the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to them. By trusting Christ as Savior. Look at verse 8 of the chapter. It says, unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That is how it was with the Apostle Paul. Turning your Bible back to Philippians chapter number 3, to the book of Philippians in the middle part of the New Testament, and to the chapter number 3. And look at what Paul says here in verse number 8 and verse number 9 of Philippians chapter number 3, speaking of Christ and of his uniting to Christ and trusting Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and to count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb by repenting of his sin, trusting Christ as Savior, and being clothed in the spotless robe of Christ's perfect righteousness and having that covering upon his soul. There was a day in his own experience when he said, I will go with Christ. I will unite with Christ. I will trust Christ. This is what it means, friend, to heed the call, the gospel to the marriage supper. Friend, to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you must make yourself ready. It says there the bride made herself ready. This was her responsibility. Friend, in her meeting, this is your responsibility before God. Why, when a person goes to a wedding, they prepare. Well, you must prepare for the marriage supper in heaven. How? By trusting Christ. Uniting with Christ to blot out all your sins through his blood shed upon the cross and to array you in the robe of his perfect righteousness. Oh, let me warn you tonight that if you do not, you will never be in heaven. Rather, your soul will be lost in hell, that place of outer darkness, where there is eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn with me back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Here you have Christ speaking there about the marriage feast in heaven and the parable of the marriage of the king's son, all depicting the need to be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. There was someone who came to this marriage feast without a garment on. And you'll see here that they were cast out, and it's a picture of the sinner being cast out of heaven. No place in heaven for the sinner who is not in Christ and trusting Christ as Savior. Look at Matthew chapter 22 in the verses 11, 12, and 13 of the chapter. It says, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment." He wasn't prepared for the wedding. "And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And notice that he was speechless. There was not a thing he could say. He was found out. He was guilty before God. "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And friend, that will be awful end that will befall you if you're found at the end of time without Christ as Savior, not in Christ. Your sins not blotted out through the blood of Christ. And your soul not arrayed in the spotless garment of Christ's perfect righteousness. Notice finally here from our text this evening, notice the outcome for those at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What's the outcome for them? Well, look at what our text says. It says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Notice that word blessed, it literally means happy. That really speaks to us, dear people, of an eternity of blessings. An eternal ocean, we might say, of blessings for all those who partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, there is the blessing of being sure in heaven, sure of heaven and a place in heaven. Paul said, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was sure of heaven. He was absolutely spot on about that. Not because of him or anything he had done, but because of what Christ had done for him as heavenly bridegroom. My, and he speaks of heaven. He says, "To die is to gain heaven." The hymn writer says, "We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright." And friend, to be at the marriage supper and gain a place in heaven, you must be saved. You must trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of everlasting life, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." There's the blessing, yes, of being sure of heaven. There's also the blessing of being in the immediate presence of Christ himself for all of eternity. David testified of that. Psalm 17, verse 15, he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." And friend, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you'll see Christ face to face in glory when you know him and when you trust him as Savior. The hymn writer says, "Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him. Jesus Christ who died for me." To be in heaven, to be sure of heaven, to be in the immediate presence of Christ. Then there's also the blessing of eternal fellowship with all God's people. This chapter here speaks of a great multitude in heaven, a multitude that no man can number. Turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And look with me, please, at verse number 19 and verse number 20 of that chapter. Look at what Paul here says to believers in Thessalonica, people he was never to see again in the flesh here on earth. But he knew he would see them in heaven. He would meet with them in heaven. He says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Ye are our glory and our joy." My Paul was looking forward to meeting these believers in heaven. And dear friend, let me say this, when you're saved, through Christ as Savior, you can look forward to heaven, yes, to being in the presence of Christ, and you can look forward to a glad reunion with other saved loved ones who have gone on before. What blessings there are for those at this marriage supper. And then we can say further, there's the blessing of freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from sickness, freedom from sorrow, freedom from death. In heaven, yes, all our our battles with diseases will be over. All our battles with sin will be over in heaven forever and ever. Never again will we have to deal with the enemies of death, of sin, and Satan. Turn the page in your Bible just over to Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 4. Look at what it says about those in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." The Bible speaks of those in heaven, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. John speaks of being in heaven and says, "We shall be like him," that's like Christ, "for we shall see him as he is." To be at the marriage supper, child of God, you'll be made perfect, even like unto Christ. You'll have a glorious body, an immortal body, an incorruptible body, free from all trace and taint of sin whatsoever. Yes, heaven, we can say, and the marriage supper of the Lamb will really be our coronation day as believers. It will be a time, yes, of everlasting joy for all the people of God and all the saints of God. The hymn writer sums up this blessing rightly by saying, "Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children's know." What a treasure there is for the people of God at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Dear friend, when you're saved, trusting Christ as Savior, you can look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what we have to look forward to, received in the meeting tonight. But friend, I must warn you as we close, if you're not saved, if you have not your faith in Christ as Savior, then your eternal portion will be that of being separated from God and all His people and being lost in the fires of hell forever and ever. Look again at what John says in Revelation 21, verse 8. He says there, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's the end of the unsaved, whoever they are. Friend, if you are to escape this judgment in hell, if you are to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and partake of that eternal blessedness, then now in time you must repent of your sins and come by faith personally to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." May God help you to do so tonight. May you not leave the meeting not prepared, not ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a story told of a dear saint of God, a lady. She was passing from the scene of time, and she was witnessing for her Savior. And she called the servants of her household around her bed, and she sought to witness to them of Christ. And one of the final things that she said to those servants that were gathered around her bedside was this. She says, "There is nothing but Christ between me and the weeping and the wailing and gnashing of teeth in heaven." There was nothing but Christ, she says, but between me and hell. She was a woman who was trusting in Christ, leaning upon Christ for salvation. Friend, I must warn you tonight, if Christ is not your Savior, if He's not your Savior in this meeting, oh, see this tonight, there's nothing then between you and hell. There's nothing then between you and a lost eternity. Therefore, come to Christ. Trust Him. Accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Go home washed in the blood of the Lamb. And be prepared and ready and watching and waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll close our meeting tonight in a word of prayer. If you're not saved, I urge you to come to the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting is over, I'll be no hurry away. Glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Christ, the mighty to save, oh, that you'd be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Thy presence with us here in thy house, for thy praises that have been sung, thy word that has been read, and for the preaching of the word of God, and for the great hope we have as believers of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank thee for each one in the gathering that has that hope within their soul and can look forward with joy and anticipation to that great day when Christ will come. But Lord, for any in the gathering, any listening in online and have not this hope within their soul tonight, disturb the sleep of death within their soul, Lord. May they close in with Christ tonight and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Part us now with thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Speak on, we beseech of thee, and bless us in the week that lies before us. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.